What an awesome God we serve. He's a mighty good God, isn't he? Bless his holy name. There's nobody that can do you like King Jesus. It's good to be in the house. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Nobody like you. It's good to be in the house today, and we thank and praise God for the opportunity to be able to come and to celebrate with you 38 years of ministry. It seemed like yesterday I was telling Pastor in the back that it seemed like yesterday when it was only 20 years. And then it seemed like I remember talking to him, and then it was 15. And then it was mentioned going all the way back to our days being in college. And God has done such a tremendous work. You cannot be in ministry for 38 years and God not be with you. It's a lot of ups and downs, but when God is with you, who in the world can be against you? So much rich history, so much. I was just thinking, and so many thoughts were going through my head as I was thinking about our connection to the ministry, thinking about Pastor Walker and Sister Fran, and just over the years, and I mean going all the way back. You guys have been down to Augusta multiple times, and you guys have ministered. You guys have blessed us. I told the story when you came down for our 22nd, the year that it was, I think it was a snowstorm, and Pastor Walker, you either had surgery or something had happened. A hernia, that's what it was. And yet you still came down, and you preached that anniversary from a stool. That says so much to me about commitment. That says so much to me as a young pastor about what it means to be committed to minister the word of God. And so you blessed us tremendously. I thank and praise God for both of you. You guys are just awesome in the Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for having us and allowing us to join with this great ministry. We love you guys. I'm thinking about what was shared by Minister Boyd and Elder Boyd, and we go way back with the whole Heirs of Promise that was over here. I think they kind of had me as an honorary manager for a while because I booked them down at Payne College, and they actually performed with John P. Key when we brought John P. Key in. Some of you might remember that. I brought you down to the Air Force Base when I was down in Charleston. Robbins Air Force Base. And certainly you guys came to Augusta, you guys ministered, and it was just awesome, and we just love over the years our connection through the ministry. And then we thank God for you, Abundant Life, now Cross Culture Church. As my wife mentioned, coming here is coming home. When we come in, we kind of know our way around, and we're your noisy cousins down the street. Pastor Walker, he said when he came to one of our anniversaries, he said, "Woo, you guys really kind of loud, you know. You all the way live, right? Because we get in the mic and we make a lot of noise, and we thank God. And so we wanted to come up here and make a little noise, amen. The Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice. So we don't mind making a little noise and celebrating. I thank God for a strong tower with those who are able. Just wave your hand, strong tower, to come on up and celebrate with us. We thank God for you all. Just a blessing to be here and a blessing to have you guys to come up and to join us. And so I've been given the assignment, the task. I thank God for my wife. Amen. Love you, honey. Amen. Such a blessing. I've watched her grow and develop and mature over the years. And Sister Pat, I tell you, you have a lot to do with that because you started off in the early days and you set the tone and set a great pattern for my wife. And then my wife watched how you love your first lady. And I tell you, Sister Pat, Minister Boyd was fiercely protective when it came to First Lady. Amen. I mean, just with a deep, passionate love. And then there was her husband. Okay. And so, you know, he even had me going astray. And I could tell you so many stories about this wonderful brother of mine. He talked me into, when we were students, I had a motorcycle. Wasn't a very big motorcycle, and he was singing with another group. It wasn't Heirs of Promise. It was called Tomorrow's Reality, and that wasn't no spiritual group either, okay? And he talked me into riding him all the way to Atlanta from West Georgia on the back of the motorcycle. He said, "Oh, come on, man, it won't be nothing. We'll be there in no time." And of course, we're on this little motorcycle, and we'd never done anything like this before. And all of these huge trucks were passing us by. And you know, when that wind hit you, he was screaming, I was screaming. And it was just a mess. And then Sister Pat, Minister Boyd, gave him an ultimatum and told him that he either had to get his life on track with God or he couldn't have anything to do with her. And she kicked him to the curb. I remember this. The whole campus remember this. We had that brother on suicide watch. And I had to talk him down several times. Now put it down. Put it down. It's not worth all that. Okay. But he loved himself some Pat. There's no doubt about it. Anybody who is at West Georgia know that that's the truth. And so it was our blessing and our honor to bring them in to do a portion of our marriage retreat. And they did an absolute awesome job. And so Pastor Walker, Sister Francine, y'all would have been so proud of them. They did a wonderful, wonderful job. So we're going to get right into the Word of God. We're not going to prolong. I'm going to get to my assignment, and that is to come and to share a word with you from heaven. And I pray that it will bless and challenge your life as you celebrate 38 years, but I pray that it will cause you to think deeply about where you are in your walk with God and what God is doing in this ministry and what God has chosen to do in and through you. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So let's pray over this message, and then we're going to get right into it. Let's pray now. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for your grace, your mercy. What an awesome God you are, and we appreciate, Lord, all that you do in our lives. And so now, kind Father, we're gathered here in this place today because we want to hear a word from heaven, oh God. We want you to speak into our lives. And Father, as you speak into our lives, we want to line up, God, with your word. So I pray now, Father, that you would illuminate our mind by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would hear this, your holy and your most righteous word. We would apply this truth to our lives, and that it would show up, oh God, in all that we do. We certainly give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. It's in Jesus Christ's precious name, and all God's people said, amen. I've entitled this evening's message, Finding Your Way Home. Finding your way home. You know, as I was thinking about your theme, the year of cross culture, it said to me that God is getting ready to do something tremendous through this ministry. And you are to be very much a part of what God is going to do in this place. God is getting ready to take cross culture to the next level. And as he goes to the next level, God is going to do a work in you, in each of you, in your hearts. God is going to do a work to prepare you for the work that he's calling you to do. And so, in other words, what I'm trying to say is that there is an assignment. There is a mandate on this church to do the will of God. Now, you've already done so much and you've already come so far. But guess what? It's just the beginning. It's only now just beginning to start. And even though so much has been done, yet there is still so much work to do. And guess what? Each one of you is a part of it. Every person who is in this ministry, you count. And you are a part of the purpose and plan of what God is going to do in this city through you collectively as a whole. So that means that there is no long ranges. It means that you're all in this thing, guess what, together. And so as God has given the vision to pastor for this house, you become united as you get behind that vision and begin to move in the direction that God would have you to move. That means that collectively you are united as you all move in the same direction. It means you can't be having one going this way, one going that way, one creating their own vision. It is only one vision coming from God that he gives to the head, and everybody else, guess what, lines up behind that vision. It's what God has chosen to do. So I'm excited for you across culture. I'm excited as God begins to do this work and take you to an even deeper level. So as deep as you already may be, guess what? There's still another level to go to. Because the reality is none of us come all grown up before God. We're always still learning, always still yet receiving. But here is the other side. Even as God is preparing to do this work, there may be some who are here among us that somewhere along the way you've gotten off track. Somewhere along the way, you took your eyes off God. And when you took your eyes off God, you began to drift spiritually. Rather than moving toward God, you find yourself steadily moving away from God. And what happens is that when we don't give time and attention to those things that are important to us, time and attention to those things that are important to us, that means time and attention to our relationship with God. Because anything you neglect, it'll fall apart. You neglect your marriage, it'll fall apart. You can buy a brand new house, and if you neglect that house, guess what? It will fall apart. And when we neglect to invest in our personal relationship to the Lord, then what we'll find is that other things will slowly become more important to us than maintaining our relationship with God. And it can happen so gradually. It's like Satan sifting you like wheat, because one moment you were here and then slowly you begin to drift away from God until you get to the point that the things of God are not as important to you as they once used to be. And so a part of this work that God is getting ready to do in this house, God wants everybody to be a part of this work. God wants those who are committed, and he wants to reconnect with those who have drifted away from him. Why? Because the Father, he loves you. And God wants to reconnect because you are a part of the plan and purpose for what God is going to do in this church. The next move of God, God wants you a part of it. And believe it or not, your life makes a difference, because somebody's encouraged when you're sitting in that seat. Somebody's encouraged when you do what you do. And each part of us, God has gifted us and God has parted us to make us part of the whole. So when you put it all together, it makes the thing, guess what? It makes it work. So I don't know, Pastor, but as I prayed over this message, God had me to come at this message from a slightly different way, because he wants me to deal with those who have drifted away. He wants me to speak to the heart of those who may be committed, but may at some point be in a position to minister to those who have drifted away. Those, as Pastor talks about the vision of the church for 2018 and beyond, to talk about the year of cross culture. And they say, I want to be a part of that, but I no longer feel connected because I've drifted away from my personal relationship with God. And so when that happens to you, how do you find your way back home? That's the question. How do you get there? And the answer to that is really very simple. It is one word, and that one word is called repentance. When you repent, it means that you have a change of mind. It is where you decide that you are going to turn away from a life of sin and turn back to God. Here, it's like a man who was walking in this direction, and all of a sudden he changes his mind, decides to make a U-turn and go back in the opposite direction. It is where you get to the end of yourself and you say, I no longer want to live this way. It is having a godly sorrow for the things that you have done and deciding to turn from that sin and reconnect in fellowship, guess what, with God. But it's even more than just being sorry, but it is asking God for forgiveness. It is asking God, God, help me to no longer do the things that I do, but enable me, God, to walk in obedience to your word. It is called repentance. And God loves you. And repentance opens up the door for us to reconnect to God, because God wants you to be a part of this thing that he's doing right here. And he wants it right here and right now. And so this leads me to a passage of scripture in Luke chapter 15. a series of parables, if you will, that Jesus told to a particular audience, but it highlights repentance and God's love for you. So really what I want to do is today I want to tell you a love story that's straight from the Word of God. And when God told this love story, he looked even beyond the audience that he had today and he saw you and he saw me because the Word is lasting. And so when you go to Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1, and I'm coming from the New International Version. The Bible says, now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's so interesting that when you look at that text, here it is that you had Pharisees and tax collectors, sinners, who were wanting to gather around to hear what Jesus had to say. In other words, they wanted to receive the ministry that Jesus had. Now, you would think that the Pharisees, the religious group, the religious folk, you would think that they would have celebrated this. Jesus made it clear. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. Guess what? But I came to call sinners unto repentance. So you would think that they would have been celebrating this, that Jesus had this opportunity to be able to reach sinners and the lost. But that wasn't their reaction. When you go back and you look at the text, the Bible says that they muttered. They were upset. They were not pleased that Jesus was associating with these kinds of people, tax collectors and sinners. But as I said earlier, Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners unto repentance. And you would think they would say that this man is so anointed that he is able to reach folk like this. But instead, they began to sit back and they began to criticize. And what that says to me is that when you are doing the will of God, everybody is not going to be excited about what you're doing. When you have a ministry like Cross Culture and you are reaching the lost for Jesus Christ, everybody is not going to be excited. When you have a pastor like Pastor Walker who is willing to call sin, sin, everybody is not going to be excited about that. You're even going to have people here in the church as the pastor calls the church to fast and seek the face and the heart of God. Everybody, guess what, is not going to celebrate with you when you're doing the work of God. Here you had these religious leaders who should have been excited about the fact that sinners were coming to hear this man of God and their lives would be changed forever. But instead, they were self-righteous and they looked down their nose at those who were not like them. But isn't it something that we welcome the fact that Jesus Christ received sinners? Because watch this, if that were not the case, where would we be at? Because everybody in here got a story. You got one and I got one. All of us haven't always been saved all of our lives. How many hear what I'm saying? Everybody has got a past. But Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, guess what, but have everlasting life. God saw you and he loved you. And so the word says that these men, that they muttered that Jesus would not only welcome sinners, but then he would actually fellowship with them. Jesus Christ, understanding and knowing their hearts and what was in their hearts, rather than confronting them directly, he decides to tell a series of parables. In other words, stories. That's what a parable is. A parable is a simple story that illustrates a spiritual truth. But here's the thing about parables. Parables are told so that you see yourself somewhere in the story. So as you look at these parables that Jesus is about to talk about, the question is, where are you at in the story? So the Pharisees who were sitting over there and they were glaring with their pious self-righteousness, looking down their nose at Jesus, that he would have the audacity to minister to folk like this, folk who are not like us. So Jesus decided to tell a parable. And he started off by talking about lost sheep. He said that there was a man who had 100 sheep, and one of them wandered away, because you know that's what sheep are like. They say sheep are not very smart animals. They just wander. And so perhaps this sheep started eating, and he kept eating, and he kept eating, and he kept eating, and before he knew it, he was lost. And that means he was out there without any protection. And so the shepherd, because of his love for the sheep, made sure, even though it said that they were in the open country, they were secure. And he went after that one lost sheep. And the Bible says that when he found him, the shepherd rejoiced, and he took the sheep and he threw the sheep over his shoulder, and he came back home. And then he told everybody who would listen, he said, listen, this sheep of mine that was lost has now been found. Hey, why? Because when you are excited about something, you share that with other folk. So he said, why don't you come on and celebrate with me? Let's throw a party, because heaven rejoices when one sinner repents and comes back home. So he said, let's throw a party. Let's rejoice. And then he tells the story about a lost coin. And he said there was a woman who lost the coin. And so she went through the house and she turned on the lights and she swept everything down until she found the coin. And when she found that one coin, she began to celebrate. Heaven throws a party when one sinner, when one lost person comes, what, back home. You can imagine the look on the faces of the Pharisee. Because it probably dawned on them that this was going somewhere and it was starting to get kind of close to home. Well, they had no issue with, a shepherd going after a sheep. They had no issue with a woman who was looking for a coin. But then this brings us to the heart of the passage. And Jesus says, now I want to talk about a father who had two sons. Now, most of us are familiar with the one son. I mean, most of us, if we haven't heard any other parable, we heard the parable about the prodigal son, the wasteful son, the lost son. But there was a second older brother who is just as much a part of the story as the younger one. Jesus told this story so that you and I can say, where do I fit into this picture? So he says in verse number 11, he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. It is amazing that what this young man did, he would have the audacity to go to his father and ask his father for his portion of the inheritance before his father was dead. And so doing, what he was saying to his father is that you are worth more to me dead than alive. But since you won't hurry up and die, can you just give me my portion now? Because you know how it is when you are in your father's house and you feel like you kind of reached the point now where daddy can't tell you nothing anymore. Even though you're in a place of safety and you got the resources and a roof over your head, food on the table, you're at a place now where you got everything, and everything daddy has will one day be yours. But you're so impatient because there are things that you want to do and places you want to go, and nobody can tell you anything. This young man had an idea in his mind about how he wanted to live his life. And he did not want to have accountability. So he decided that I'm going to leave my father's house so I can live my life my way, do what I want to do whenever I want to do it. So he came to his father and said, can you give me mine now? To me, what is more surprising about that is that the father actually did it. He gave it to him. And the Bible here says that, back to verse number 11, he says, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the young son got all that he had, and he set off to a distant country, a place where he could go where nobody would know him, and he could live his life the way that he wanted to live it. He wanted to get away from his father's house, get away from his father's rules, get away from his father's word, get away where he would be out there and do what he wanted to do. It's amazing. It's amazing how the enemy can make things in the world seem more attractive than the things of God. And we begin to get that in mind. That's why I believe the word says, love not the world nor the things in the world. For if you love the world, the love of the Father, guess what, is not in you. But this young man had an appetite for the world, and he was not going to be denied. Nobody could tell him anything. He didn't want to hear about no Bible study. He didn't want to hear about coming to prayer meeting. He wasn't ready to do no fast. He wasn't worried about 38 years of ministry. He wasn't thinking about no cross culture and this next move of God. What he wanted to do was he wanted to make his way to the other country. And do you know you don't have to go to Europe or Africa to go to the distant country? All you got to do is get outside of this word. Once you abandon the word of God, you've already entered into that other country. When you've made up in your mind that you're going to do things your way rather than doing things God's way, you have already stepped into that foreign country. And so he went to the foreign country. He took his father's money. He took the money that his father gave him, and he went to this distant country, and he began to live wildly. We know that part of that wild living included prostitutes, because his older brother talks about it later on. Oh, I mean, he had money in his hand. He had women on his mind. He was ready to go. And he hit that foreign country, and he made a name for himself, because, you know, when you got money, you attract people to yourself. Oh, he was riotous living. I mean, oh, he could not have been further away from his father's house, because now he was at a place where nobody knew his name, and there was no accountability. There was no cross-culture church. There was no Pastor Walker. There was no Elder Fran. There was none of the elders. He was in that place, and he had made up in his mind, and nobody, let me tell you, nobody was going to tell him what to do. But then the Bible says that something changed. Verse number 14. The Bible says, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. After there was no more money, he was broke, had no money, no place to stay, and nothing to eat. Famine came. And life was hard. See, here's the thing about sin. Sin looks attractive for a time. And then it leaves you with the consequences. And so it looked attractive to him at the time, but now he was left with nothing. And all of those friends that he had that knew his name, all of those running partners and all of the posses, the Bible says that he had nothing. And no one would help him, because now his money was gone. So as he looked at his situation, he had no other choice but to hire himself out to someone who lived in that country, a citizen of that country, who had the audacity to give him the job of feeding pigs. Now, you understand he was Jewish, right? And according to Jewish law, you didn't fool around with pigs. A pig was an animal that was considered unclean. But yet this Jewish boy found himself in a pig pen because it was the only job he could get, feeding pigs. In other words, the man was saying to him that my pigs have more value to me than you do. And the Bible said there was no one to help him. There was no one who received him. There was no place he could call. There was nowhere he could go, because he was in a distant land. He was so hungry, the Bible says that he even for a minute considered eating what the pigs were eating. But the problem is, the human stomach cannot digest that food. And so as he sat there, his mind began to think, and his thoughts began to go back home, back to that place where daddy is at. You know, the thing about God that I love about God is that God will oftentimes allow us to feel the full effect of our decision, because then it opens our eyes to our situation. Sometimes stuff can get so bad in your life that it snaps you out of it. It brings you back around to yourself so you can realize the consequences of what you've done. And when you find yourself in a pigsty because you walked away from God, your consequences will snap you out of it and wake you up. So he woke up and he couldn't believe what he had done. He was sitting there in a pigsty and he began to think about home. You know, the good thing is that when home is home, you can always go home. God loves you, and God wants you to know, as you sit here today, it doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how far you may have drifted, you can always, my friend, you can always get up, guess what, and go home. And so as he sat there, he began to think about the servants in his father's house was living better than him. And he made the decision. Now, this is key. He made the decision. He had a change of mind. That he no longer wanted to live the life that he was living. Because everything that has glitter and gold on the other side ain't all glitter and gold. Even though stuff may look better on the other side, don't always mean, guess what, that it's better. It just looked that way from a distance. But once you get in it and you realize this thing ain't all that it was cracked up to be. And so he made up his mind that he was going to turn from his ways and he was going to go home. But here's the thing. He had to act on the decision that he made. You see, it's not enough just to have a change of mind. You got to have the evidence that shows that you are serious about the change you say you're going to make. So he was serious when he took that first foot and put that step to go back home. How many hear what I'm saying? And it took a lot of nerve for him to go back home, because he knew that he took the money that his gray-haired daddy had worked all of his life for. He labored for that. And the Bible said he squandered it. Can you imagine the audacity for him to show back up? I'm sure there's been some folk who left this church and they didn't leave quiet either. Oh, I had one in my church. And she got into the microphone and was supposed to make an announcement, but she made an announcement. And when she got through saying what she had to say, she stepped in the middle of the aisle and she walked straight out of the church. And watch this, and glanced back to see how many people will be behind her. But isn't it something that you can leave like that? But if you get your heart right, you can still come back home. See, I don't know your story, but I know you in here. And God knows you here. And God sent me to tell you that you are a part of this thing. And you got to wake up and know that you can come back home. Because God loves you today, and God has purpose that you're going to be a part of this thing, and guess what? In 2018 and beyond. So that boy, he got up and he made up in his mind. He says, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to confess to my father, and I'm going to apologize. And I'm not going to try to come back home as a son, because I know he would not receive me, but I'm going to ask him, can I be a servant? You see, because in the ancient world, when you left the way he left, normally there's a funeral that takes place. That means that the father disowns you because you have embarrassed the name of the family. But he said, I'm going home. And he picked up what little bit he had, and guess what? He started heading back home. And this is where it gets good. And the Bible says that when the father saw him coming from afar, first thing it says, God is looking. God is still looking for you. Even when we stop caring about ourselves, God don't stop caring. God was still looking for him. Each day he would get up and he would look. And they said, come on, Daddy, you going to eat? Yeah, I'll be there in just a minute. I was just checking. Daddy, you still looking for that boy? That boy ain't going to come home. That boy ain't never going to come home. You know how he is. He, wow, we done heard all them stories coming out. And the father said, yeah, I hear you. And one day he saw a figure on the horizon. Now, isn't it interesting that in the first two parables, the shepherd went looking for the sheep. But that's a sheep. And in the second parable, the woman went looking for the coin. But that's a coin. But in this parable, the father did not go looking for the son. Because he could have went there and he probably would have found him. But he didn't do that. Now the question is, why? Because in repentance, when repentance is genuine and it is sincere, there should be the corresponding evidence of that by some action. And the action is you taking that step. And when you draw near to God, what I'm telling you is that God will draw near what? To you. And so as he saw the son coming, the Bible says that he ran to him. Now, I love this part. He ran to him. And in running to him, there's a little bit more to the story to that than this. When he ran to his son, and understand, the community was aware. The community was aware because word travels that that boy was coming home. Now, this was a dangerous situation. Why? Because he not only embarrassed his father, he embarrassed that community. You see, the reality is that communities oftentimes become known by the things that happen in them. For example, New York City will forever be known for 911. New Orleans will forever be known by Hurricane Katrina. Littleton, Colorado will be forever known by Columbine. Dallas, Texas will forever be known for the assassination. Memphis, Tennessee will always be known for the murder. And this community was known for the shame that that boy had brought upon them. And they were prepared to tear him apart. They heard that he was coming because word travels. And they were ready to tear him apart. But all he knew, if I can get back to my daddy. So watch this. The father, knowing the situation and his love for the son, he did the unthinkable. He pulled up his robe. And he exposed his naked legs as he ran to the son. Now you ask, why is that important? Because in the ancient world, a man of dignity would never pull up his robe and expose his naked legs to the community. But what he was doing was the shame that should have been his son's, he took that shame, guess what, upon himself. Because he loved that boy so much. So guess what? The punishment that should have been ours. The Lord Jesus Christ took it upon himself. And guess what? By his stripes, you and I, come on, you ought to be shouting about that. We are healed. How many hear what I'm saying? We are healed tonight. Thank God that Jesus Christ received sinners. Thank God that he knows your name. Thank God, guess what, that you can come back home. Oh, he ran to the son and he threw his arms around him. And the son already had his speech prepared. The son already had his words prepared. And he went right into it. And he said, oh, he said, Daddy, listen, you got to You got to forgive me. I messed up, and I know this is a mess, and I know this really looks bad, and I'm back here. And he said, shh. And he told a servant, he said, look, he said, go into the house. And the servant said, what you want me to do? He said, go into the house, because his robe that he's got on, it's all tore up, and it's all messed up. And he said, Daddy, I went through all my clothes, and this all I had left. And it was hard, because that famine was severe. And he said, shh. He said, go get him a robe. Go get him a robe and bring it out here. And we're going to put the robe on you. And he said, Daddy, listen, you keep interrupting me. What I'm trying to tell you is that I'm sorry. He said, son. He said, where's your ring? He said, oh, yeah. That I was trying to get to that. He said, my ring, I had to sell the ring so that I could get food to eat, because nobody would help me. There was nobody there who would help me. And he said, sir, he said, hey, when you go in there and you get the robe, also get him another ring and bring the ring back here so I can put it on his hand. And then he looked down and he said, I don't need no shoes, because you see, a servant didn't have shoes in those days. And he said, when you come back out, bring him some shoes, because this son of mine who was lost, he's still my son. Put shoes on his feet. And the daddy began to celebrate, because this son of his who was lost had now been found. Isn't that something to know God loves us so much that you, my friend, can come back home? But watch this. There was a second brother. He heard the music. He heard the dancing, because the father said, kill the fatted calf and let's go in and let's celebrate this son of mine who was dead. He was separated from me and now he is back home. And they threw a party, because heaven rejoices when one lost sinner comes back home. Some people have often wondered and said, can this really apply to a person who is in the church, who's gone into a backward slide? Well, you know, the reality is that the son never lost sight of the fact that this is my father. And guess what? I am your son. And so the other son came out from the field. He had been working all day. And he came in and he heard the music and he said, well, what's this? I didn't know it was supposed to be no party tonight. And he asked one of the servants, he said, what's going on? And the servant said, he said, well, you didn't hear? He said, no. He said, man, your brother is back home, and your father has threw a party to celebrate him, guess what, coming back home. And the Bible said that the older brother didn't have the reaction. He wasn't celebrating. He was angry. Now remember, parables are told so that you can see yourself what? And so them Pharisees, they were up here when Jesus started talking. Now they were way back here. The older brother was very upset. And I want you to see what it says here. Look down at verse number 25. It said, meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on? 27, he said, your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. And the word here says that the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out to him and pleaded with him. But he answered his father. He said, look, all of these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat. He said, so I could celebrate with my friends. Isn't that something? And you know what? When you think about it on the surface, it almost kind of makes a little bit of sense. You say to yourself, here it is that I've been here all of this time. And I've been the one who never left. And you're going to throw him a party. In other words, the party that was his should have been mine. Because I'm the person who never left the church. I didn't leave the church. I came in and I served faithfully in the church. When you show up in the parking lot, I'm there in the church and I'm handing out programs and I'm vacuuming the floor and I'm doing all of these things, but I never got a party. It makes you get even angry at God because you say, Lord, here it is that I've been praying and I've been asking you for a promotion on my job. Now I look at this person. And yeah, we attend the same church and they got promoted and I didn't. Lord, we've been begging you to have a child. You know what it would mean to us. And we serve faithfully. I mean, anytime Pastor Walker or Sister Fran call, we are right there. But they got pregnant. And we didn't. So nobody has killed the fatted calf for me. So why should I celebrate? And his father told him, he said, listen. You don't understand. This brother, your brother, who was lost, has now been found. He left, but he came back home. He looked at his son and said, don't you understand? Everything that is here is already yours. And if you wanted a party, you could have had one. The problem is, you never asked. And so you have not, because you ask not. And though the older son was around the father, he was certainly religious. He was in the house, but God never had his heart. You can be in and do all kinds of things, and you can show up. But what pastor is saying is, does God have so where are you going in 2018? This is the year of cross culture. But where are you at in this parable? Are you the younger son that left home? You drifted away. Somehow along the way, you got distracted. Your eyes got off God. And you found yourself a long way from home. And the reality is that we all may have the tendency to roam. Are you the older brother who was religious and stayed at home, but perhaps he was just as far from the father as the one who left? Where are you at in this picture? As you go into 2018 and beyond, this is the year of cross culture, and God sent me to say, it's going to take everybody. It's going to take those who are here, and it's going to take those who have left, but God is saying, now is the time for you, my friend, to come back home. That's what he told me to share, Pastor. He says, invite the folks to come on back home. And so I feel like something should happen, amen. And so I just want to invite you, if you're here tonight, and it's about being real, because we know in life all kinds of things happen. But that's why we're joined together, because we can pray for each other. And all the more, encourage one another, the Bible says, and all the more as we see the day of his return approaching. So I want to pray for you, and I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor. I just want to pray for all of us, because we're in here and in this thing together as you connect with the vision that God has given, Pastor, for this house, amen? And you are part of that, and that's so awesome. And it's about stepping into your purpose. It's about stepping in, but it's about being under the vision. Now, being under the vision, because if you don't get under the vision now, you'll be headed off trying to do your own thing. The vision keeps us all together, and it keeps us moving in the same direction. That's called order. There's order. We serve a God of order. But when we get ourselves in order, great, great things are going to happen. I just saw great things. I wrestled. Great things are going to happen here because this is the year of cross-culture. And that encompasses so much. It's even bigger than the last 10 years. This thing is so big. It's very broad, and it encompasses because God says, you've already done so much. You've been around the world, but that's just the beginning. And there's more work to be done. So I want to invite those of you who want to come to the altar. I just want to pray for you, and I'm going to be out of your way. If you want to come to the altar right now, I just want to pray for you. If you just want to come and stand, I'll let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Amen. This is not any kind of judgment. It's not an admission that by coming to the altar, you've done anything wrong. This is just you coming to say, I just want to stand in agreement. I want you, Pastor, to pray over us as we prepare to go into this year of cross culture. Is anybody here today who stands in the need of prayer? Lord, have mercy. I never turn down prayer. We all stand in the need of prayer. God loves you, my friend. God loves you today, and I want you to know that you are important. That's what he sent me here to tell you. Your life makes a difference, and no matter what you have gone through, God cares about you. Yes, he does. He cares about your pain. God cares about your disappointment. God cares about you, and God is going to start this work in you before he takes you even on and beyond. I love you guys. I so appreciate you because you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And man, we are all in this thing together. Look around you. Just take a look around. Isn't this beautiful? We're all here in this thing together. And we're going to uphold one another. And we're going to stand under the vision of this house. Amen. It's about having a committed heart. As you're still coming, I allowed everybody to get here and then we'll pray. It's about having a heart that's committed. And that takes commitment. That takes commitment. You have to take that first step. Amen. Every heart now surrendered now. Just lift your heart to the Lord. Just lift your heart to the Lord. This is God has already done the work. Even before you got out of your chair to come here, God was already doing that work in you. He is already ministering. God is already speaking to your heart and touching your heart and doing what he needs to do right now. Just allow God to speak to your heart. And we're going to pray. 2018 and beyond, the year of cross culture. This is the year of cross culture. It begins here and it moves on beyond. And it encompasses all of those things that have taken place up till now. All of it is a combination. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we stand here in your presence, Lord, we surrender our heart right now to you, God. We just cry out, God, and we say that we want more of you. Father, you're the best thing that ever happened to us in the name of Jesus. We declare, oh God, that there's nobody who can do us like you. If we search the whole world over, oh God, we can find nobody who has any greater love for us than you. And you demonstrated that love by sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross for our sin, for my sin, God, for me. And so here I stand, oh God. Here I stand that you would take the foolish things of this world, oh God, to confound the wise. But we bless your holy and your most righteous name. Knit our hearts together in the name of Jesus. Join us together in the name of Jesus. Enable us, oh God, to see our purpose, God, in what you are doing. Give us a hunger and thirst, oh God, for righteousness and for your word. Bring us to the place, oh God, where we are ready to turn, God, from those things and come back home to you and to know that it's okay, oh God, it's okay. You died on the cross, you took our shame, and it's okay to know that we can come home and we can take our place here. Speak to our hearts, oh God, as you position us to minister to others who are still out there, oh God, who need to come back home. And you've given the assignment to us to go to them and to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. And to let them know that they're not forgotten, but they can always come home. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for just your love. I thank you, Lord, for the obedience of your people. We certainly give you all the praise, all the honor, and all of the glory. It's in the mighty and matchless name of your son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. And all God's precious and holy people said, amen, 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 and praise the Lord.